Open with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read a few verses there. We're going to read verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start at verse 3 just for the context. Just so being in faces that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them that which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hold your hand there, and just quickly over to Revelation chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What we're going to look at tonight, in the will of the Lord, is the priesthood of all believers. And we've been going through this study on Roman Catholicism, and I want to take a little bit different twist over the next couple of studies. Tonight we're going to look into this, the priesthood of all believers, and next time, Lord willing, in January, we'll look into the breaking of bread in contrast to the Mass that is offered up by the Catholic Church. But here, looking at the priesthood of all believers, again, this is a truth that I think most of us here would hold to, we would agree with, and yet I think sometimes in the exercise of that, there's some confusion. And I want to read a couple of things that I brought with me. First of all, this is from Bill McDonald's book on Christ Loved the Church, and it's under the title of The Priesthood of the Believer, and it's under a section called What Christendom Has Done. Every local church then should recognize the Lord Jesus as the great high priest, and every believer as a holy and royal priest. But is this what we find in Christendom today? On the contrary, we find that the church has gone back to the priestly system of Judaism. While professing to believe in the priesthood of all Christians, many churches have set up a distinct priesthood of their own, based largely on the Mosaic system. Thus, we have separate classes of men set apart for divine service, a hierarchy of church officials with high-sounding titles to distinguish them from the laity, and distinguishable garb to set them apart as being of a different order. In addition, the church has borrowed from Judaism such concepts as consecrated buildings with their elaborate altars, ecclesiastical adornments, and material aids to worship. An impressive ritual that appeals to the natural senses and a religious calendar with its holy days and seasons. Concerning this atrocious mixture of Judaism and Christianity, Dr. C.I. Schofield commented, it may safely be said that the Judaizing of the church has done more to hinder her progress, pervert her mission, and destroy her spirituality than all other causes combined. Instead of pursuing her appointed path of separation from the world and following the Lord in her heavenly calling, she has used Jewish scriptures to justify herself in lowering her purpose to the civilization of the world. the acquisition of wealth, the use of imposing ritual, the erection of magnificent churches, the invocation of God's blessing upon the conflicts of armies, and the division of an equal brotherhood into clergy and laity. That's what we have today. And of course, the root of even the system that is practiced in most denominational churches that we have today, and sad to say, even among some that would call themselves New Testament assemblies that would be associated with those of us like at Northgate Chapel, have fallen into this trap of separation, of putting a premium on certain individuals, giving them a place of prominence in the local church, in the local assembly, or even worse than that, in a broader span, in a broader realm. And of course, the epitome of the clerical system is found in Roman Catholicism with this hierarchy, with the Pope at the top, who is said to be the representative, the vicar of Christ, Christ on earth. And on down the line to the local priest in the local parish. Below the Pope, of course, is the cardinals, and below him are the bishops, the archbishop and the bishop, and then of course you have the priests in the, on the local level. And there's a hierarchical system that comes from top to bottom. They are the ones, and again, sad to say, this has creeped over into Protestantism and evangelicalism. They are the ones who have the power and have the authority, the only ones who have the right to teach Scripture, to understand and give the interpretation of the Word of God. And yet that's foreign to the Scriptures, isn't it? We believe and understand from the Word of God, just from portions like we read this evening in 1 Peter chapter 2, as well as those portions in Revelation chapter 1, and there's other portions in Revelation, and other portions in the Word of God that will tell us that among the Lord's people there is no difference. We are all priests. We all have function as priests. And we see there in 1 Peter that there are two types of priesthood. There is a holy priesthood, and there is a royal priesthood. And the best way for us to understand the distinction between those two is that the holy priesthood is a vertical priesthood. It's to offer up praise to God. It's to offer up sacrifices to God. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. And the royal priesthood is a horizontal priesthood. It's exercising a priesthood among the Lord's people. Among the Lord's people as intercessors. Among the Lord's people as going and encouraging and coming alongside fellow believers. And we can all exercise them. Now, we want to make sure that we make distinctions that the Word of God makes. The Word of God, as far as in the family of God, in relation to God Himself, there is no distinction between male and female, between bond and free, between any kind of division that humans would make. There's no racial division. There's no economic division. We all are equal and one in Christ, in our position in Him. And yet, even in that position, we have a difference as far as gifts are concerned. Some have different gifts. Some have the gift of evangelists. Some have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of shepherding. Some have the gift of exhortation. We could go on and on to the various spiritual gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians, namely chapters 12 through 14, as well as in Romans. But God has gifted us, each one, with at least one spiritual gift. And we exercise that gift in the body of Christ, to the building up of the body. Because as it said back in 1 Peter, the goal of the church is, we are lively stones. There's a cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we gather together, building up one another, encouraging one another to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, that we might be that building, that temple of God, collectively as well as individually. That we are the dwelling place of God. He is found in our midst. It's not this building that is sacred. It's not the place that we gather. It's the fact that we gather together. To the point that he would say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we use those spiritual gifts according to each one that God has given to us and blesses with. The other distinction that's made as far as the function is that in the meetings of the local assembly, there is a difference as far as male and female, that women are to be silent in the meetings of the local assembly. They're not to take a place of leadership. They're not to take a place of being before the assembly, directing or guiding the assembly, or taking any place of prominence in the local assembly. And the reason behind that is not because of superiority or inferiority at all. It's because the woman in the gathering of local assembly, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as well as in chapter 14, represents mankind. And the man typifies the Lord Jesus. Now, God established that. It wasn't established by a bunch of male chauvinists. It wasn't established by a group of individuals. God ordained that. He established that to have that order. And so the woman covers her head and is in silence in the meeting of the assembly. But that doesn't stop her from exercising her priesthood. Because a woman can exercise her priesthood in a non-audible way. When we gather together for breaking of bread, and I always encourage the ladies, you know, you don't, just because you don't have the responsibility to stand up publicly when the saints are gathered together, doesn't mean that you should sit there silently, not and thinking about other things. It means that as the Spirit of God moves in and among us, especially in the breaking of bread, even the ladies are to be careful that they're not a hindrance to the liberty of the Spirit. Brother Gibby reminded us this morning that the Spirit of God is like a wind, and we don't control where it comes from, we don't control where it goes, but it moves among us, and we can hinder the Spirit of God, we can grieve the Spirit of God. And so we all have to be in tune with the Spirit, because here's what's going on. Let's say there's 100 of us here on a Sunday morning, and one brother stands up and gives out a hymn, or offers up a prayer to God, or reads from the Scripture. Well, there's 99 other people, both male and female, and we enter in as one with that brother in that time of worship. And so the other 99 of us are silent, male and female alike. But that brother is the one who, as a representative of the body, is offering up those things to God, and we all add our amen to that. And as one, we enter into that corporate worship. It's corporate, it means body worship. And so we come together with that. And, you know, I talked to many sisters, and they said, Mark, I'm in the breaking of bread, and I think about something, I'm considering a hymn, or I'm reading a portion of Scripture, and I'm praying. And how many times has that happened, that a brother has gotten up and given out that exact hymn? And it's not because it was the wife nudging her husband and saying, give out this hymn. That's improper, right? But it's because a brother, led by the Spirit of God, as that sister was meditating on that and praying about that, the Spirit of God can raise up a brother to give out that hymn or to read that exact portion. It's happened to me before. I've been considering a particular hymn, just thinking about it, reading over it and considering giving that hymn out, or even a portion of Scripture, and another brother has stood up and given out that exact same portion. And what it shows is, this isn't man-made. This isn't man-controlled. This is controlled by something that is far beyond us. And so I encourage the sisters, as you come into the breaking of bread, and as you sit there quietly, meditate on the things of Christ, as you read the Scriptures, as you look over a hymn in the book, as you offer up prayer to God, just remember the Spirit of God can move brethren around you that will offer up that proper praise and worship of the Lord Jesus. So we're all priests. But even among the typical priesthood, the Levitical priesthood that we have in the Old Testament, various priests had various functions. All the Levites were, in a sense, part of the priesthood in the fact that all of them had some function with the tabernacle. Some of them, their primary responsibility was to move it from one place to another. But once the temple was established, that was changed. And they had other responsibilities in the temple, in preparing some of the things that were necessary there, the animals that were sacrificed, some of the utensils that were there, taking care of them. Others had the responsibility of leading in worship. Some of the Psalms were written by them. And so there were various activities by this Levitical priesthood. And even among the priests, there was a certain family that had the primary responsibility of offering up the sacrifices to God. And even among that family, there was a certain individual who had the responsibility of going into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer up on the Day of Atonement the sacrifice for himself, first of all, and for all the people. And so even among that priesthood, there was a difference made among the functions of the priest.
They were all priests, but their functions differed. And there was no one that was better than another. There was no one that was superior to the other. They simply differed in their function. And so in the local church, there is that order that God has established. He's established that we are all priests, and yet we function differently according to certain patterns, according to certain principles, according to certain commandments of God. And so we're not bothered by that because it's all God's order and not ours. And he has a right to do that because the assembly belongs to him. Now, saying all of that, we men have a grave responsibility. Because when the church gathers together, we are the ones that have the responsibility of audibly speaking out and, in a way, representing the assembly when we do that. And we've got to be careful about a couple of things. First of all, and I'm talking primarily about the breaking of bread, which, again, will be our subject more next month when we gather together. When the brethren come together, we have to be sure that our hearts are prepared. Sin has been confessed. Things have been made right. If we know something that has taken place, we need to make those things right so that our heart is right to be led by the Spirit of God. Because any man can stand up and read some portion of Scripture. Any man can stand up and sing, let's sing hymn number 123. Any man can stand up and say words in prayer. But is it Spirit-led? We've got to be careful that our hearts are prepared, that our hearts are ready. Because what Paul warned the Corinthians was that some of them came to that breaking of bread and their hearts weren't right. And because of that, some were sick and some of them even died. There was weakness in the body. So we have to come with our hearts prepared, every single one of us. But also we have to come with prepared something to offer to the Lord. Are our baskets full? Or do we come with empty baskets? Are we like those 10 unprepared virgins who, as the night went along, their lamps went out, and when the bridegroom finally came, they had no oil for their lamps? And they missed out, didn't they? You know, and we know this, don't we, from experience, there are two kinds of silences that take place at the breaking of bread. And one of them is beautiful. That's a silence caused by deep meditation. Some thought has been given out. Some prayer has been offered up. And we're in awe of Christ and what he's done. And we're speechless. And it would be improper at that moment even to say anything, because we're just, mere words could not express what's in our hearts. And that kind of silence is good and right. Even in heaven there's going to be a silence like that, isn't there, at times. But there's another kind of silence caused by lack of preparation. And we come rushing in the door after having got up at the last moment possible in the morning. Or we made sure we got our newspaper read. And we made sure we got our coffee and our breakfast down. We made sure we got our shower and our shaving and our hair put into place and all that kind of those that have. And all those kind of things are done. And we drove over here in a rush and we walked through the back door just in time to sit down. And our hearts are unprepared. And our thoughts aren't anything other than Christ. Shame on us. Think about it. We have a great privilege in assemblies like this, brethren. We have the privilege of manifesting the priesthood of the believer. And yet so many times we're dumb priests. And that doesn't mean that we lack understanding or knowledge. That means that we're speechless. We're silent. We ought to come prepared. We ought to come with our hearts right, and we ought to come with our baskets full. Not stumbling and bumbling through the hymnal or stumbling and bumbling through the Bible looking for something to fill up this empty silence that seems to drag on. But our hearts ought to be prepared. And we ought to be prepared with something to share. And it might be a hymn. I mean, I know there's times when I'm going throughout the week and I'm praying about this and the Lord lays a hymn on my heart. Or a portion of Scripture. As we read through the Bible each week, and this is really a question more for the men. As you read through the Scriptures each week, are you asking the Lord, give me something to give back to you this Lord's Day? give me some thought of Christ, of his, the wonder of his person and of his character and of his work that I might share and stir up the hearts of the saints. Because the other thing that happens so often at the breaking of bread, and it's sad, it really spills cold water on a meeting sometimes that is moved in a way that you're just excited about it. A brother stands up and shares something good from the Word of God. Nothing wrong with what he shares. Nothing unscriptural or unbiblical about it. But it's inappropriate. He's offering up something that isn't a sacrifice to the Lord, considering the person of Christ. He's offering up something that, well, here's my opportunity to stand up. It's an open meeting, and I'll just say something. But the question is it the kind of sacrifice that the Lord wants? Because, you see, what kind of worshipers did he say he wants? Not a worshiper that worships at this place or in this other place, but he wants worshipers that worship in two things, in spirit and in truth. Because as priests, we offer up sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says we offer up sacrifice of praise to God. We come and we worship him. We recognize his worthiness. We recognize his place and the greatness of his person and the greatness of his work. We offer up to him those things that are pleasing to him, the things that he's given to us. We give them back to him. I believe in Acts where Paul and Barnabas were separated to go out and do the work of the ministry, it says there they were ministering to the Lord on the there in the local assembly. I believe that was speaking about the breaking of bread. They ministered to the Lord. It's not to come to minister to one another. We have those opportunities. In fact, it's not inappropriate at the end of the breaking of bread, after the time of passing the loaf and passing the cup have taken place, for a brother to stand up and give a short word of meditation, of exhortation. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's inappropriate at other times. No, it's sacrifices of praise and worship. That's the holy priesthood. Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We come to him and we worship. And what it does is, as I hear a brother sharing something from the Word or maybe standing up and praying, and I'm listening to that and I'm entering into that and I'm meditating on that, what it does is it stirs up my heart and it draws me out in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it prepares me for that moment when the breaking of bread takes place, when the bread is passed and the cup is passed. And again, we'll talk more about this in detail the next time we're together. But that's the priesthood. And we as men have a great responsibility. The ladies have the responsibility of exercising the priesthood in a non-audible way as we gather together. But the men in an audible fashion. And if we don't do that, well, shame on us. And I feel sorry for the dear sisters. Because there have been meetings that have opened that up to women and they take over. They do. They're prepared. And I've heard of meetings, I've never been to one. I've kind of shied away from that, but I know of meetings where a brother has gone and he said when he went there, that X number of people stood up and all but one or two of them were women. They were women. And so, we men, especially here at Northgate Chapel, who hold and believe these things to be true, have to be careful that we come with our hearts prepared. Come here early. You know, get here a few minutes early, sit down in the pew, close your mind, your heart to things that are outside, and focus on Christ. You know, we don't begin the meeting. Sometimes a brother get up and say, let's begin this time of worship with this hymn. Well, we didn't begin then. At least I didn't. You know, I'm sure many others didn't as well. It's a continuation, isn't it? Just because it's the first thing given out, hopefully our hearts have been in worship and remembrance of the Lord Jesus and thoughts of him long before that first hymn or that first prayer is given out audibly. So that's the holy priesthood. Christ is the high priest, we read in Hebrews chapter 4. He is the one that is over all of us, and we follow his example. You know, he not only offered up prayer and praises to God, but he also offered up his body. And it tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we offer up our body, which is that living sacrifice, that reasonable sacrifice to God. And so as we talked about this morning, when I come to God and say as a royal priest, or excuse me, as a holy priest, here is my life, here is my body, take it and use it for your glory. That's for all of us, isn't it? It's not for one particular group. It's not for one particular sect or number among us. It's for all of us to offer up our lives, our bodies to God as holy priests.